morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning, witches. It is August 3rd, 2021. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Chiffon Duncan. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "I wonder what it would be like to live in a world where it was always June," by L. M. Montgomery. Well, it's August now, which, can you guys believe it? It's August 2021. What happened? I can't even believe it's 2021. Are we all still in March of 2020? Is that where our brains are? Because it has felt like the longest year and a half March of my life. Well, today, this week, we are talking about ways you can use herbs in ways other than tea. And today we are going to share, this comes from the August 2021 issue of Witch Way magazine, Creams, Lotions, and Potions by Emma Catherine. And we are going to share a lavender and lemon face toner. So let me give you a little bit of information about toners. I actually know this from our writer, M. Myler, who sometimes still writes for Witch Way once in a blue moon. She would do our magical cocktails, which, if you're a subscriber, there's a whole video vault of just magical cocktails. And she's really fantastic. So what I know about toner, because she educated me once, is you typically want something that's a soother and something that is acidic. So there's many ways you can make your own toners if you think about the something acidic and something soothing. So lavender and lemon makes sense. So lavender and lemon are a great combination to use on skin. Lavender can help with conditions such as acne, and lemon is high in vitamin C and can help repair skin damage. To make this toner, you will need 100 milliliters of distilled or spring water, 10 drops of lavender oil, and 5 drops of lemon oil. Combine the ingredients into a clean bottle and voila! Shake before using and apply to a cotton wool pad. Use for morning and night after cleansing your skin, but before moisturizing. So, basically, I really like these recipes because they're very basic and you don't need a lot of ingredients. When we want to start out crafting, such as making candles or skincare, things like that, we typically don't want to get ourselves in a situation where we end up having to buy like a whole bunch of stuff and then we find out we don't enjoy making it. Right? So I really like these recipes for that reason. All right, so moving into some headlines. This is just for funsies. There's a Harry Potter advent calendar, and it includes ornaments for each Hogwarts house. So fun. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I'm not really into Harry Potter, and I was the age for it. Like, I was 11 when the first movie came out, and they were 11. Like, this was for my generation. My great aunt, who was a witch, she was really into Harry Potter before the movies came out. She was one of those people who were, like, on the books early. And she was like, you have to read it. And, like, I didn't care. And then she was like, your uncle already read them. My uncle is, like, 5 years younger than me. And I'm like, I don't care about that dork. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I don't care. Basically, they really wanted me to read these books. And I just couldn't get into it. To be fair, I was already watching things like Buffy and like Dark Angel and The Haunting. I was a dark kid. So Harry Potter just didn't hit it for me, right? I don't know. I guess it didn't work for me. But I have so many friends who absolutely love it that I feel like I'm a Harry Potter fan by proxy, purely because they enjoy it so much and they have a lot of fun, and It's nice watching people enjoy things they like, you know? So, I will make the happy birthday Harry cake for them if they ask, and yeah. So I'm not personally into Harry Potter, but enough of my friends are that I feel like I kind of am too. So let's hear about this advent calendar. So if you're in Harry Potter, you can check this out. If you do not want to support J.K. Rowling, maybe this will just give you some fun ideas of something you can do. Maybe supporting small like Etsy shops instead of the corporation. It's up to you, know. Do what you feel most comfortable with. So here's what they say: a magical Christmas. There's a Harry Potter advent calendar that includes 25 days of book-themed surprises, including ornaments based on each Hogwarts house. There's only four, though, right? Four houses. Created Insight Editions, the brand behind collectible books and advent calendars for Friends, Marvel, Star Wars, and more franchises. This Harry Potter advent calendar, which is titled Harry Potter Holiday Magic, the official advent calendar, has 25 doors that fans can open as they count down the 25 days to Christmas. Inside the doors are more than 25 exclusive Harry Potter collectibles, such as ornaments, recipe cards based on iconic dishes from the books and movies. Among the keepsakes are Hedwig keychain and a replica platform 3/4 ticket, a collectible potions or Patronus card, and ornaments based on each Hogwarts house: Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, and Hufflepuff. Cute. So, maybe, so this could actually be a really fun idea. So, a good friend of mine loved Harry Potter. So, one year on her birthday, and I did this, I like made all of these things. So, I basically made her a package, and it had like her acceptance letter and like her, like, I guess, passport for the Ministry of Magic with her picture. And like, it was, I just made her a bunch of stuff. So this could be really fun. If you have friends who are into Harry Potter, maybe you can make them cute little 25 days of gifts for like a lead up to be like their Christmas present. And you can do something similar. I just think it's a neat idea. And also, I love advent calendars. I didn't even know advent was a holiday until a few years ago because, I didn't grow up that way, but I love advent calendars. The idea of counting down to something is my ultimate favorite thing in the world. So every year I always look for an advent calendar. Starbucks used to do them, and I guess they don't anymore, and it broke my heart. I loved the Starbucks ones. Last year, I think I got one from Tasty BuzzFeeds. But I love an advent calendar. I think it's so fun, and I need to like get on this early and make myself one early enough that I forget what's in it, and I can surprise myself. I may actually do that. Fun. And I love that we're all just ready for the holidays. Like Halloween started like 2 weeks ago. We're already on Christmas. Let's just go. Let's rock it. All right, witches. I'm gonna throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, August 3rd. The waning crescent moon continues to twist in Gemini's wind today. Here, the moon squares Venus and trines Saturn. We may find ourselves at cross purposes with a loved one today. We have our way of doing things, they have their way of doing things, and, in this moment, it may seem that there's not a lot in common. It's important to remember that there is a personal logic to everyone's habitual patterns. We may not feel that it's the right way, but if we take some time to understand why the other person does it, we may gain a new perspective. If you and a partner are disagreeing on how to get things done, take a breath and ask them to share their point of view. It may turn out that there's more middle ground than you initially imagined. Your daily moon mantra is, "Life is a balance of holding on and letting go." This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
This episode is brought to you by Chiffon Duncan Illustration. The artist behind the Witch Daily Oracle is now offering prints and cards at chiffdraws.com/shop. SIOBH witchdraws.com/shop. And just for our coven of listeners, use code WITCH at checkout for 15% off your order. Be sure to follow along on Instagram and TikTok at Chef Draws for more spellbinding sketches. All right, so we have a question of the day. This comes to us from listener Jeannie. Jeannie says, is it advisable to do a cord-cutting spell on your past self? I used to be extremely toxic and want to separate from that person. I've accepted what I did back then. I know I was acting that way because I was hurting, but I want to ensure that I leave all of that in the past. Thanks for any advice. Wow, what a question. I'm going to be honest, Jeannie, I've never thought about this, but now I am. My first instinct was to go, oh yeah, why not? But the more it's sitting on me, the more I'm thinking, eh. And let me tell you my ehs, and then you can kind of decide what you want to do from there. My first one is cord cutting is really kind of a poppy spell that is really thrown around a lot. It is typically a very intense spell. So I did an episode not too long ago on shadow work, and I kind of have a thing about shadow work. Shadow work is not a witchy thing. It is a psychology thing. I'm pretty sure Jung came up with the phrase, and it's really about working through trauma. So I kind of have like a bug up my butt about the idea that so many people are so casually recommending to people to work through really difficult trauma without the supervision of a professional, even though I'm fully aware we don't all have access to mental health care. I don't have access to mental health care in my situation. So, I mean, I get it. It's not always available, but I do think it can be dangerous to advise people just so casually to do work that can be traumatizing, bringing up old wounds, without the care of a mental health professional. And that is my personal opinion. I know a lot of people have made a lot of money with the word shadow work and like, do you live your life? But, I studied the psych field, you know, and, I am very, very cognizant of recommending people get deep, deep, deep within their fields without a support system to help them do that. So saying that, it's kind of how I feel about cord cutting. It can be intense, right? It can be an intense spell. I've never done one, and it's because I've just never felt the need to do that. So why I brought up shadow work is because if you've heard about shadow work, which I'm sure you've had, well, let me tell you the psychological thing of shadow work. I'm not even really sure what the witch take of it is, because I've tried to not engage in that. But I do a witch course on the website. Basically, I do one-on-one classes where I talk about witch stuff. And one of the classes I do is myths and misconceptions, and one of them is about shadow work. So psychologically, the idea of shadow work, actually, I'm just going to pull up my notes. Give me 1 second. Okay, so I brought up my notes, and the reason I'm talking about shadow work is because it relates to this question. So what is the shadow, right? So what is the shadow of shadow work? So the shadow is the quote-unquote dark side of our personality, because it consists basically of primitive, negative human emotions, impulses such as rage, envy, greed, selfishness, desire, and striving for power. So we can think about it almost like our id, right? A lot of us don't like those parts of ourselves, right? We don't like to feel that we're being controlling, me. We don't like that we feel greedy or envious. We don't like when we lash out at our friends because we're hurt. We don't like those parts of ourselves. So it's only natural to want to disown those aspects of ourselves. We typically want to deny the aspects of ourselves that we consider evil or unacceptable, of inferior, and that is what becomes the shadow. So what happens is it's impossible to fully disengage our evil twin, right? Our shadow. And that's what I feel like you're asking me. You want to completely disconnect from this past person you were because that past person did things you considered now not okay, evil, or bad. So you're like, I just want to cut that thing out. But, and what you learn in, I mean, I don't know about like witchy shadow work, but psychological shadow work is when you try to disown a part of yourself, you're essentially abandoning a part of yourself and you're disowning. And while I understand it's a part of you you no longer want to claim because you don't consider it positive, in real life, when you decide to cut away or disown those parts of your personality, they don't actually go anywhere, right? What they do is as we repress them, they then become a part of your unconscious and actually have more ability to really control you. So I would highly recommend, and I'm sorry if this is really choppy to everyone listening. I don't script these out, right? I try to answer honestly and authentically, and sometimes that comes with me having to pause and pull up notes and rephrase my sentencing. So sometimes I worry I come off sounding very choppy. I don't mean to. I'm just trying to be truthful and unscripted. But I would argue, Jeannie, you cannot do a cord cutting from that part of yourself. And it is your past self. So that it, and here's the thing. So that part of you who did those things is still you. It's still you. You have just learned to overcome and not let those aspects run you. Right? We all sometimes have to choose not to be peppermint petties. We sometimes have to choose to be good. And even when you're good, even if you are a good person, sometimes we have to make that choice. And Jeannie, you grew, you evolved, you overcame. You stopped letting those aspects of yourself run your life. And I worry that if you try to disown that part of you or you try to repress that part of you are going to find that it is going to become a greater part of your subconscious and therefore may have an ability to kind of creep back in. So instead, what you did here was incredible. You said, I used to be extremely toxic and I want to separate myself from that person. So I used to be extremely toxic, right? I used to do not great things. I used to behave. Seriously, you didn't used to be toxic. You didn't used to be toxic. You are you. You are Jeannie. You are you. You behaved in a toxic way. And now you no longer do. And you say, I accepted what I did then. I know I was acting that way because I was hurting. And that's beautiful. And that's all you need. You don't need to cut out that part of yourself because I hate to say it, it'll always be a part of you. And you acknowledging it like you did here, I think is very beautiful. And I think you've already done it. You've done the work. You're done. You've done the work. You view those actions as toxic, you realize they were unacceptable, and you don't want to ever do it again. And that is all you can hope for. So I hope that was helpful. I'm sorry if this was long-winded. I'm very proud of you, and you are a rock star, and congratulations, because a lot of people can't even admit when they have hurt other people. So you are a badass. Thank you, Jeannie. All right, so we have a witch win. This comes to us from a listener, Melanie. Melanie says, I've been experimenting with kitchen magic and I've been placing intentions into food based on colors. fun way to do it, such as yellow for happiness, orange for abundance, red for love. My intention is that whoever eats the food feels a little boost. Recently, my husband had a day of compliments on his work and was given a raise. It was completely unexpected. I believe this color work has helped give him a little lift. I'm so happy to inject a little magic into, That's so nice. I think I already read this, but that's okay because I love cooking magic. So I like to break cooking magic down into a few different categories. Correlations, medicinal, lore, and energetic work, right? So what Melanie's doing, you're doing the correlational, right? So the magical part of cooking magic, the correlations. What does rose equals love, red equals love and passion, yellow equals happiness. And that is a wonderful start for cooking magic because it's something a lot of witches are already familiar with. You usually have this information already. And it's a great way to start working on intentions with your food. And that's freaking awesome. So thank you so much for sharing, Melanie. All right, witches, I had a little magic plan today, but I went on another soapbox and we're running out of time. So yeah, I'm gonna give some shout outs. Our first shout out is to listener Elise S. Elise, you glorious magical fire dragon. I also wanna give a shout out to listener Amber Jameson. Amber, you perfect poetic moth. And then finally, Tiffany Grimm. Tiffany, you beautiful, charming tropical fish. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters, and I really, really, really appreciate you. So, yeah, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a great day. We won't have a new episode tomorrow. I ran out of guests. If you know people who would like to be a guest, send them our way. I'll talk to you on Thursday. All right, bye.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.